We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by Chafe and Lujan Injury Law Firm. Doing good by doing right. Who would have guessed that mid-June 2021, Antonio Brown would be a Super Bowl champion? He'd have a new contract with the Bucs. He'd be Tom Brady's go-to guy,
best,
or at
little
least,
pal.
Yeah.
No, actually, who would have believed that he would be a willful participant in a standout committee of receivers where there is no alpha dog?
Yep. Didn't bitch and complain about it. Didn't blow up. Just accepted his role. Caught a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. Brady rolled out the red carpet for him and said, "You can come live with me." All of these things have worked out for Antonio Brown. On the flip side, Le'Veon Bell, and by the way, it looks like biblical storms outside
just,
right now.
It's just distractingly bad here in the studio. Anyway,
did you get hit hard yesterday?
We're up at my brother's and he lives in Cranberry. We got like your garden variety thunderstorm. We got back to our house and it was pretty much standard.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, the golf club I was playing at had like 50 trees down.
I heard about
and
that.
And that's a couple miles as the crow flies from where my parents live. They had a tree down. My dad was out cutting a tree up this morning. They didn't have power.
We just got rain. I didn't even hear any thunder yesterday.
Wow.
The only thing that happened with me that was weather related was that I got a phone call from my wife that said, "You better bring all of our patio deck furniture cushions in."
Poof. Well, she's out of town, right?
No, she's back.
Oh. Bringing all the furniture cushions in is one of those things you know you have to do, but I don't know about either of you.
I hate it.
When I'm asked to do this task that maybe takes 5 minutes and is essential, it's like somebody's asking me to write a book report, honestly. That's how much I hate doing it. Same way with certain household chores. It's just, I can't do it.
I don't understand why we have outdoor furniture
that can't be left outdoors.
Remain outdoors.
Thank you. I think it's false advertising to call it outdoor furniture.
Right, because it's the
same. You get an outdoor television, for example, right? You don't take the TV inside when it starts to rain.
Nope.
It's mounted on a wall outdoors.
It's meant to be outside.
That's right.
The furniture is always outside, but the cushions aren't water or weather resistant.
I mean, I do intellectually know why she wants them brought in. She doesn't want to sit on a wet cushion
when the weather breaks. It's going to get moldy.
Okay, maybe, but haven't we figured out enough technology-wise to create anti-mold, quick-drying cushions here? Somebody get on this. Craig.
I'd invest in that company.
Million-dollar idea. Maybe a billion-dollar idea for you. Josh, the intern in there, he looks like a smart guy. He could probably figure something out.
The Le'Veon Bell situation, I was bringing up Antonio Brown because it's wild to me that Bell's career has... It's not crazy that as a running back, he fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But he has handled it so poorly. His new thing is, I'd retire before I played for Andy Reid again. In the top five most respected coaches in the NFL right now?
I've never heard a single player say, "I don't like Andy Reid" before this. Like, Andy Reid is my kryptonite. Not one.
And today was his save face move. He actually thought this was going to work. He said, "I shouldn't have gone on social media and said all this, but I don't regret what I said."
Just where I said it.
Yeah.
He's got like Honey Badger, who's a pretty respected guy, I would say, now around the league, calling him out, defending Andy Reid. He's got nobody backing him.
He's still a free agent with no interest.
And here's why it's so weird, the Brown, A.B., Le'Veon comparison. Whenever those two situations were popping off, I always recall it being obvious, I think even to fans who were mad at both guys, that Brown was the guy who was thought of as a pretty bad guy handling things really poorly. And a lot of people who even didn't like what Bell was doing understood that it was supposedly business, and he was viewed in a much more favorable light. That goodwill is eroding big time, if it's not already gone completely across the NFL. And unlike AB, who probably was going to always be able to remain productive, what, into his mid-30s because of the position he plays and the way he keeps his body in shape?
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell has squandered the last few years of true earning potential here doing this.
What do you think happens for him if he signs the Steelers deal and takes their offer? How does his career look different?
You know, he probably...
What happens to him?
I think he has a better year than he had in 19 with the Jets. I think his numbers look better. And then I think last year probably ends up being the last year where he's a functional back. Because I assume he's obviously playing 18, so he's getting that whole season. But I think with their penchant for running guys till the wheels fell off, I think he would have probably crapped out after this past year, if not before. A lot of hits, a lot of wear and tear. You know, he made a lot of great moves, but he took a lot of punishment.
I think he'd have more money in his pocket, because I don't think the Steelers would have cut him after 1 year of that deal. In the first two years was $30 million.
No, he would have more.
He would have made more money, would have had to work hard for it. And I think Tomlin would have continued to go to that well until it was clear that he couldn't get it done anymore. But I think he would have just fallen victim to, or would have just been the latest in the running back graveyard of guys that were, you know, had a really impressive 3 or 4 year run, and then the demands of the position just caught up to him. And he would have just been another running back.
He'd have had like 7,500 yards or so.
He would have been another
yards.
Running back that in his late 20s fell apart. The Steelers would have cut him by now. But you do it that way, and you're not persona non grata with the organization, and you're not one of these polarizing figures in the NFL. The guy sat out and gave up an entire year's worth of money because he wanted to stand for something, and it backfired terribly.
Does his agent have any other clients, Bakari?
I don't know. He's not like a big name agent.
No, that's the takeaway I have. I would think Le'Veon
You're blaming
Bell's...
the agent? He hired the agent,
no,
Chris.
I understand that. I would just think that the outcome of this ultimately is that the agent gets very few clients the rest of the way. Players aren't stupid. They see what happened to Bell. I don't care how headstrong he was about his Steelers situation. Mm-hmm. If he's got a strong agent in his ear telling him, this is the right play for you, these are the facts, whether your ego wants to hear it or not, maybe it ends differently. If I'm Adisa Bakari, I am looking at the way his career has gone and thinking, well, not good for me. Not going to bode well for my future getting big name clients. You know what bums me out about Bell? I never had an issue thinking he was like some bad guy. I just think he made a very bad choice, and he was the kind of player who I enjoyed watching so much stylistically that I wish I would have been able to say, yeah, I did end up seeing every good year of his career with this team, but I wanted it to be a couple more years. Give me 2 or 3 more years of that guy, even if the last one is at a diminished level, and I would have enjoyed it so much as a fan.
I think the Steelers got out at the exact right time, and it's not a remarkable foresight on their part. It's because Bell just didn't take their money.
You don't think he would have been good in 2018?
No.
I think he would have been.
No, I think he was. Look at his numbers the year before. He led the league in touches. His efficiency went way down. There wasn't big burst or big playmaking. I think his longest run was under 30 yards. He
would have been great for the Roethlisberger pop gun passing attack,
though. He had great counting numbers. Like Ben's year last year, or even a couple years ago. The numbers look good because of just how many opportunities there were. He got the ball a ton.
I would have chosen to believe in him for one more year. I think 18 could have still been good.
But look at how much he fell off from 17 to 18,
Chris. It was almost a yard per touch. I get it,
yes.
Man. I do.
He was on a steady decline, and the Steelers still offered him $70 million.
Then they really didn't get out at the right time. It was by the grace of his mistake that they got out.
Yeah, it was his own
stupidity.
It
was a bad move that he saved them from,
exactly.
If you believe that then. So what does that say about Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin if they were ready to give him big money, even if it was only for maybe two years of it?
It makes me think that if Najee Harris plays well, that they'll have a really hard time not offering him a big second contract.
I mean, that would be a bad idea. It's just, I think it's even more of a truism than don't take running backs in the first round. I think the even more strongly held wisdom is don't give running backs a second contract.
But that's why you don't pick him in the first round. Because why would you want to box yourself into only having a premium player that you took in the first round for 5 years, 6 years max if you franchise tag him? You're going to put that kind of ceiling on a first round pick?
No.
Exactly. But that's the only way really to do it. How many of these teams that have given running backs a big second contract has it actually worked out for? Have they been they've been happy?
Has Henry's second deal kicked in yet?
I think it does now. I think it's just starting now.
They're going to be the litmus test. People probably don't realize this about Henry. First 3 years in the league, relatively speaking, lightly used. Didn't top 250 touches in any of those years.
Yeah, because he was sharing touches with Deion Lewis.
I know. He managed to get 1,000 yards somehow in 18 despite doing that. 321 in 2019, 397 touches last year. And now they just paid him. That's the latest litmus test. And everyone says, oh, he's built different. We'll see.
I know.
We'll see about that.
You know what this does, actually, in a weird sort of way? When we talk about running backs like this, it actually forces me to appreciate Bettis' career even more.
Because in an era where guys, I think, got beat up even more.
Because I think what we've done with running back overall, and I think this is actually a mistake on our part, I think if we're going to reward longevity at any one position, it should be that one. And guys that might not have been...
Rewarded how?
Rewarded in that...
Like appreciation of it? Like, okay, yeah, like, reward it tangibly like is another
Bettis,
story.
Bettis never... I don't think Bettis's best never compared to, say, Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame.
At Bettis's absolute best and Le'Veon Bell's absolute best for what they were in the eras they played in, I would probably take Bell for one game because he could also hurt you in the receiving game.
Or even one season. But the greatness of Bettis is that he was a really good running back for a long time. And I think
he was durable in an era where it was harder to, I would argue, to be durable. But man,
the game was more physical back then too.
He was also averaging. These are years where he piled up 1,000-yard plus seasons. He was 3.8, 3.6, 3.8, and those are 1,000-yard years in the quote unquote prime of his career. Granted, 98-99, they absolutely stunk and couldn't pass the ball. I'll tell you this about Bettis. His career looks a lot less rosy in the rearview mirror if he doesn't cap it with that Super Bowl. Because otherwise it looks like a guy who hung on as a beloved sort of situational player at best.
Yeah.
And ultimately for nothing in the team concept. He got the storybook ending that everyone craves. And he almost was the one that sabotaged it himself. But I would argue with you that while I appreciate how great he was, that 2004 season's really good. Because he almost had 1,000 yards there as basically like a surprise starter. But the rest of it starts to look kind of bad if you're looking from 02 on. 02, 03, 05. I mean.
So how do you rank then in your lifetimes? How do you rank the Steelers running backs?
This is controversial.
Bettis
probably,
1, Bell 2? Where do you put Willie
ranking,
Parker?
Am I ranking the career or am I ranking who I thought was the absolute best player of the bunch?
Well, so even if you rank careers, you're going to put Bettis.
I would put
You'd
Bell,
have to put Bettis 1.
Le'Veon Bell is the best Steelers running back I've seen. Like, when I'm thinking about for one game, Bettis had a better career. There's no argument there. But, like, I have a hard time separating how awesome Le'Veon Bell was when he was on. But, yes, I guess I have to go Bettis, Bell. Do I have to go Bell, too? Willie Parker won a Super Bowl.
He won two Super
Bowls. Two Super Bowls. He won one, basically, with a huge play that iced the game. I can't put Willie Parker ahead of Le'Veon. I sound like Starkey. I can't put him ahead of him, Muldy.
That really was.
I can't put Willie. No. Bettis, Bell, Parker. That's my list.
Man,
I felt the Starkey coming
I'll
over
tell you
me
what,
as I said
I'll
that.
Tell you what. Good luck finding a fourth guy.
D'Angelo Williams. In my lifetime.
Better than Mendenhall?
Oh, no. In my adult
How
lifetime?
How about Barry Foster
yeah, I was gonna
and
say,
Bam Morris?
I was going to say, Barry Foster, just for that one season alone, would have to be up there. Mendenhall, everyone laughs at.
How about Merrill Hodge?
Don't even remember him. Mendenhall gets laughed at.
Oh, you were watching Browns games back then.
Mendenhall gets laughed at, but they don't make it to Super Bowl 45 without him. They also don't lose Super Bowl 45 without him, probably.
Correct.
So it's, you know, take the good with the bad here. That's the Alonzo Mourning gif right there.
So you'd put Barry Foster fourth?
Probably, yeah, he's got to be in. Yeah, I think he's got to be fourth. I think D'Angelo Williams authored one of the unlikeliest, like, sneaky fill-in seasons you'll ever see. I mean, he was really good that year that they counted on him.
How about famous Amos Zerway?
Oh, God. You know, they had so much success with famous Amos. What about Avon Coburn? If your wife's listening right now, she's pissed that I'm making fun of these West Virginia backs.
No, they're before her time. The extent of her West Virginia knowledge, football knowledge, pretty much starts with Owen Schmidt taking his own helmet and smashing himself in the face with it.
That dude was a kind of a weird freak athlete too, Owen Schmidt. He also completely insane.
Yes.
But.
All right. Good talk.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.